The subject I want to use is an all expense paid trip.
Amen.
And what we have here is just a ticket.
Yes.
We have a ticket. To an all expense paid trip.
Amen. Amen.
Life is a journey. I'm going to talk about two parts of this trip because life itself is a journey, a trip.
Right, right.
But then after this trip, after this journey, we're on our way somewhere. The Bible says we're pilgrims and we're travelers. The scripture talks about our going back to be with the Lord, that He's going to come and receive us, and we're going to take a trip. It says, He says, I go to prepare your place. I'm going to take a journey, He told His disciples as He was leaving. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm taking a journey.
Yeah.
And I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. You're going to get to take this journey with me in my Father's house.
Yes, yes.
There are many dwelling places.
Amen.
Many mansions. And this blood and this bread represents the ticket that Jesus has purchased so that we can take this all expense paid trip.
Amen. Amen.
With Him.
Amen.
But not only will it take care of all of the expenses going from earth to heaven, but while we are here, because we worry about sometimes, we have a tendency to worry. That's why Jesus gave us the scriptures and says, take no thought.
Yes.
Do not worry. Do not be overly concerned about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear.
Yes.
He says,
yes.
You don't need to worry about that.
Amen.
Yes, you're in a journey. Yes, you're on a trip. But you don't have to worry about it because all the expenses are paid.
Amen. 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 Amen.
So He says, your Father knows what you have need of before you ask.
Yes.
He's already pre-planned your life. And He's pre-planned to take care of everything you will ever need in this life and in the life to come.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And so in Romans chapter number 8, look at it in the King James Version first, and then in the New Living Translation. King James Version first, and then in the New Living Translation. Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at verse number 32. Romans chapter number 8, verse 32. In the King James Version first, and then in the New Living Translation. Okay. us. Romans chapter number 8. Verse 32. Try again something. If you have a King James Version, we're going to move on to it. In Romans chapter number 8, verse 32 says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" And it is from this verse that we take that thought: an all expense paid trip. The subject matter of Romans chapter number 8, believe it or not, is our salvation.
Amen.
Our salvation, also eternal life, whether we're saved or not, whether we're eternally saved or not, or temporarily saved, whether we're conditionally saved or unconditionally saved, whether anything or anybody can separate us from him and from his love. Romans chapter number 8 covers so many things, but it primarily is talking about our salvation and all the different things that that we think could affect our salvation, our trip. Is it possible that we can start this journey called Christianity, called salvation, and this journey called eternal life, or this race? Is it possible for us to start this race and not finish it? Impossible.
Amen. Amen.
Because you didn't start it.
Amen. Amen.
And you're not expected to finish it.
Right.
You're not expected to start it, you're not expected to keep it, and you're not expected to finish it. It is really better than the Titanic. It is an unshakable, sinkable ship.
Yes, yes, amen.
We're taking a journey on an unsinkable, unshakable, uninterrupted trip. There is nothing that can abort this trip.
Amen. Amen.
All the expenses of everything you ever need has already been paid for. Not only is Jesus the captain of the ship,
yes,
he himself
is the ship.
Is the ship.
Yes.
What is food if he if he did not spare his own son,
yes, yes,
but delivered him up for all of us believers, who he's already chosen, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things,
yes,
that we'll ever need?
Amen. Amen.
The answer is, he won't do it.
Amen.
That when God got involved in our salvation, he went all in.
Amen. 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 Amen.
That song we just heard talks about us giving ourselves away and withholding nothing. That's what the scripture is saying that he did. He withheld nothing.
Amen. 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 Amen.
So he says, if I gave you my best, I will not withhold anything else.
Amen.
Amen.
With my best came all things.
Amen.
With my son came all things.
Amen.
That you will ever need.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
If I gave you the greater, he says, please have no doubt, I'm going to give you,
yes, yes,
the lesson.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And we have testimonies how God has kept us, yes, and brought us,
yes,
and delivered us out of situation and blessed us in ways that we did not think. Certainly, he's blessed us in ways that we did not deserve.
Right. Amen. Amen.
There are so many testimonies in here.
Yes.
We can look at what I believe is the oldest person in here. Mother Turner. She's how old, Mother Turner? 82. There's a whole lot of life there.
Yes.
She didn't see a whole lot of presidents come and go.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But Jesus has still been with her.
Amen.
So that means 82. That has to mean that Mother, you were around at least close to the time of the Depression. When it was really bad in our country. The 30s and the 40s. And God brought her through that.
Amen. Amen.
So he can bring us, if he can bring Mother Turner through the Depression and her family through the Depression, then he can bring us through recessions,
uh-huh,
and suppressions, depressions, and oppressions, oppression. Are you with me? He can bring us through all of that. We don't have a problem that God cannot solve.
Amen.
I was thinking about our safety. Can we trust that God is going to take care of us through this journey? Of course, the answer is yes. I want you to look at one other scripture, and then we'll move on. We're coming back to Romans chapter number 8. But let's look at Genesis chapter number 7, verse 15. Through 16 in the King James Version. Genesis chapter number 7, verse 15 through verse 16. Because again, Romans chapter number 8 is talking about our salvation. And whether we are secure, mm-hmm, or not.
Amen.
Whether we are secure or not. And Romans chapter 8 talks about how no persons and no circumstances can abort this trip, can abort this journey.
Yes, yes.
Can sink this ship that we're on.
Amen, amen.
And so the Lord took me back to Noah. And I thought about, well, could, because naturally people, when they say, okay, we got it, that you're saying nobody can take us away from the Lord, and nobody can, no situations that God sent Noah and his family and the animals into the ark to protect them from his wrath.
Wow.
It wasn't the devil.
Amen. Amen.
God protected them from his wrath. He was bringing his wrath on the earth, and God protected them from his wrath.
Amen.
That's what he did for us.
Amen.
And so I was thinking, well, Lord, can anybody jump off the ship? He said, well, no, this ain't one of those cruise ships that you can fall off or you can jump off. No, this is an ark, and everything is inside. And so the scripture says, and that, so you can't even jump out if you want to.
Amen.
This was a pretty big ship, a pretty big ark. And they went into, and they went in unto Noah into the ark. Two and two of all flesh. Wherein is the breath of life? Everything that could breathe.
Yes.
God had a representation of at least two of them.
Amen. Amen.
And they that went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, Noah.
Amen.
And I like this one. And the Lord.
Yes.
Shut him in.
Yes, yes.
God shut the door and locked the door and said, come in here. And he locked the door and can't nobody open it.
Yes, yes.
But him.
Yes. Amen.
No, I can't walk out. No, I can't fall out. No, I can't be deceived out. God shut me up in him. And so the Bible says we are healed.
Thank you, Jesus.
Saints, we are in.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And there is no end to our being in. You didn't hear that. There is no end to our being in him. New Living Translation says, the Lord closed the door behind him.
Uh-huh. Amen.
He told us, come in the ark.
Yes.
And then he shut the door behind us.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow.
Amen. Amen.
All right, let's go back to Romans chapter number 8. We're going to start at verse 1. New Living Translation. Let's receive this blessing. There is so much here. It is a good thing to be in Christ.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
It's a good thing to be saved.
Because
See, if you're in Christ, because again, the subject is our salvation. Yes. So now there is no condemnation.
Yes.
When a house is condemned, what does that mean? Can't nobody live in it. And it's going to be torn down, completely destroyed. There is no judgment against those who are in Christ Jesus. By the way, that's a legal term. That's a legal term. God is the judge. And he has already determined that there is no judgment against us. If the question is, were we guilty? Yes, we were guilty. But somebody paid the price. Again, you want to look at it as like this. God himself, the judge, got off of his bench and came down and stood in the place of the condemned. So before he first he looked at the condemned, he said, guilty. And those of us who've accepted Christ, in essence, we've thrown ourselves on the mercy of the court and we said, what's my punishment? The cost, you're going to have to do some time, and you're going to have to pay a fine. The cost is death. The time, eternity. See, that's how I know our salvation is eternal. Because our punishment was eternal. What did Jesus pay for? What time? I was going to have to do the time. What was the time? Eternity.
Right, right. Amen.
And he did it for me.
Amen.
What was my fine? Death. The wages of sin.
Yes.
the King James Version, it says, for those who walk not after the Spirit, those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
And we are those.
Yes.
There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We are those.
Amen.
You are in the flesh, but you don't walk after the flesh, because you are in Christ and the Spirit of God is in you. And the Spirit of God is leading you. Verse 2. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us. Are y'all with me? It's talking about our salvation.
Amen. Amen.
Because of the weakness of our sinful flesh. So God did what the law could not do.
Thank you, Jesus.
Still talking about what? An all expense.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
See, this part of it is talking about that part of our trip on our way to heaven. But then it's going to get down and talk about, it's going to start talking about this part of it, the part we're living out now. He sent His own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners had. And by the way, this is Paul talking, one of the greatest apostles. God did a miraculous thing in his life, and he calls himself a sinner. As a matter of fact, he said, I'm a chief. He sent His own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have, and in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us. Now, this is, saints, this is looking at our salvation from God's perspective, not from the way you see it, because we don't see all of this. But now we should see some evidence of it.
Right.
As we said before, you can't, you no matter what you say, you cannot just do anything you want to do.
Amen.
Because you have the Spirit of God in you, and He just won't let you do anything you want to do. And sometimes you do wrong. But I know if I look over my life, my good outweighs my bad.
Amen.
Because that stuff that I wanted to do, He didn't let me do.
Amen.
Oh, you didn't hear me. Oh, yeah. Maybe y'all can't admit it, but I made some plans that He did not let me carry out. I planned and denied and I set up some stuff, and He messed it up. You don't have a choice in this. Just like He told Abimelech. Abimelech was a king. Abraham and his wife Sarah came in through their land. And the king, when he saw Sarah, he took her for himself. Took her into his own bedroom, in his own harem. And he planned to have his way with Sarah. But he went to sleep before he got to her. And he had a dream, and the Lord talked to him. And the Lord said, you are a dead man. And he began to He restrained sinners so that they can't do everything they want to do. So if He don't restrain a sinner, don't you tell me He won't keep me. Don't tell me He won't keep me from my foolish self sometimes. God said, you're dead, man. He said, why? God, you know I ain't even touched that one. He said, I know you didn't touch her because I didn't let you.
Yes.
So if you are in this thing, honey, you're in it, and God is in you, and He's already taken care of everything.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That was a precious scripture. Not in this verse, but it pertains to what we're talking about. Where Jesus says, you can ask. It was in our daily. What's that thing called?
Daily
bread. Anybody got one? For today, I'm. You missed today's day. What's today's day? May 6th. Yes. Listen at this. John chapter 15, verse 5. You have to go there, Sister Christian. Stay right there. And it says, listen at this. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And when I did my daily word this morning, before I came to church, before I got out of my bed, that was the first thing I did, was open the daily word, the daily bread, and let the Lord talk to me. And he showed me something that I hadn't even paid attention to before. I never saw it like this before. Because people use that verse and then think, oh, that means I can get whatever I want. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. But what you have to do is, if you know John 15, John 15 is talking about us, Jesus being the vine, and us being the branches. And how the idea is of a vine or either a tree and us being the branches.
Yes.
And the purpose of being a vine and having branches. Think about it. If it's a tree, and I'm going to use this, that it's a fruit tree. So if it's a fruit tree, what is the purpose of the vine and the branches? What is expected? That these branches are going to bear some fruit. And in this story, Jesus talks about, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, goes on to say, and whatever you ask, it will be given to you. This is one of the prime examples, and I tell you, saints, in all my days of preaching, I never saw that. I never saw this. You have to keep scriptures within context. You can't take it out of its context. So Jesus was talking about, he had a subject. And in the middle of his discourse, the subject he was talking about, he said, and you know what? Because you're connected to me, you can ask for whatever you want. And God's going to do it for you. But what's the subject of John chapter 15? What? Y'all see, it said Jesus was the vine. And it said, we're the branches. But he's talking about what is expected. What's expected? Fruit. And what he was saying is, if you are in me, and you desire to bear fruit, fruit of righteousness, you can ask for it, and God's going to do it for you. Ain't no use you talk about, I'm a part of this tree, I'm a part of this branch, but I can't do right. I can't bear any fruit. Oh, yes, you can. And you will.
Yes, yes.
Let's never said anything like that before? Of course. He that thirsts hunger and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. It wasn't talking about money. It was talking about us desiring to bear the fruit that God has designed and purposed us to bear. Okay, let's take a little bit further. Has anybody here ever had a desire to be more spiritual than you are?
Yes.
Anybody ever desired? You wanted to be holier than you were. You wanted to grow in the Lord. Has anybody ever taken inventory of yourself and you were disappointed because you were not further along than you should be? Anybody ever been disappointed with yourself? Jesus. And that's what he's saying. Where did you get that? When you felt disappointed with yourself, what that was a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, and God said, it's going to be filled. Because you are connected to the vine, you can ask for whatever kind of fruit. You want some fruit? Ask for it. God's going to do it to you. I'm going to give you some more love, some more joy, some more peace, some more faith, some more long-suffering, some more goodness, some more long-suffering. I'm going to give you some more temperance.
Yes. Amen.
He was talking about us bearing fruit. And if the Spirit of God is in you, that's the life-giving source.
Amen.
And you're going to bear some fruit.
Amen.
Let's go back to that. We're not going to make an attempt to finish off on this day. So let's go back to the verse just above that so I can see where we are. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law, the just requirement of God, would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. That's us. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. That's us. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to what? Life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. Listen, if you think your flesh is going to ever decide to cooperate, it's not. That's why you can never take a position of pride and think you're standing, because you can easily fall, because you have an enemy on the inside of you that is hostile towards God and never intends to obey God. Your flesh never intends and will not. It never did obey God's laws, and it never
will.
That's why those who are still under the control, see, those who are still under, I'm not under control of my flesh. Those who are under this control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not. Paul's talking to believers. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. I know you said, wait a minute. It sure seems like it sometimes. No, you just bought into the devil's lie. Tell me, I can't help myself. Yes, you can.
Amen.
If the Spirit of God is on the inside of you, yes, you can. Well, what's the problem? You've been doing it so long. You used to give it in to your flesh. You used to plan weak. Yes, you can. Quit playing the game. You know that struggle between the flesh and the spirit?
Yes.
But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. Saints, if it's actually a fact that you cannot control yourself and you got to do what your flesh says, that's because you're not saved. If it's actually true that you can't, I mean, I can't. Saved folk can live saved.
Amen.
Righteous people who have the Spirit of God can live by the Spirit. And sometimes God will control, God will surprise you. I know He's done that. Listen to this. I know He's done that for me. I've been in situations and people have said things and done things, and I know in the past I would have done this, or I would have did that, I would have did that. And before I know it, He worked in me in such a way that I did not respond in the flesh, and I surprised myself. And I said, you know what? I might just be saved. Oh, something is different here, because me I used to know. I wanna. But He's made a difference in me. Next verse. Come on. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You don't owe your flesh anything, and you do not have to obey. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. Now that's talking about in your flesh. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of who? God. So you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. See, you're not a slave.
Amen.
Even though you are.
Amen.
You're really not. This is talking about in your relationship to God.
Yes.
Even though He does own you and He is your master, He's elevated our relationship. He said, instead, the Spirit that I gave you, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children.
Yes.
Now, we don't just call Him master.
Yes. Amen.
But we can get personal and intimate with Him and call Him Daddy God, Daddy Father, Abba Father.
Amen.
For His Spirit joins or agrees with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Sister Christian, let's go back to verse 32. And then we're going to read on down. So, since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? And the answer is yes. Remember, the question is, are there any persons who can take us out of Jesus and take away our salvation? Or are there any circumstances? And so the scriptures, the writer begins to go down the list. Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for His own? No one For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? The answer?
No one.
For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, doing what? Interceding for us. That's why we're going to make it. Jesus told Peter, I prayed for you.
Yes.
That your faith fail not. That your faith will not fail. Because the ultimate prayer warrior is continually praying. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Is that why we're going through? Because God doesn't love us? No, no. Why are saints going through so much? If we're saved, the scripture asks that in just a minute we're going to read it. It says this. The troubles that we're going through right now are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed. And this is what it said. If we suffer with him, if we're going to reign with him and receive glory with him, then it just comes along with it. We got to go through the suffering with him.
Amen.
So he said, some of the stuff you're going through, it's not because you are in trouble and God doesn't love you, but because you are loved and because you are a part of Christ, you're just going through the suffering that you are. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Or are persecuted? No. Paul is saying this because one of the first things you will feel when you are going through serious trouble is you'll feel lonely.
Amen.
And your flesh will feel abandoned.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Even God himself, God the Son, when he was going through on the cross, he felt loneliness and said, my God, why hast thou abandoned me? Somebody say, just a feeling. That's all it was, just a feeling. That's the feelings of the flesh, but he knew. Because that same spirit, that same man who was there then said, my Father, into thine hands I commit my spirit.
Oh, yes.
But the flesh will feel lonely and feel persecuted and wonder, maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe that's why I'm going through so much.
Amen.
Don't be fooled. But not only can no persons separate you, it said the one who really matters has already chosen you, so he won't condemn you.
Yes.
And can't nobody accuse you because Jesus Christ himself has already taken your punishment.
Right.
And then he says, not only will no persons separate you, no circumstances can separate you. Persecution can't separate you. Hunger cannot separate you. Destitution cannot separate you. Danger cannot separate you. Threatened with death, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, does it mean he's not with me? No, he is with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. Because thou art with me. As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed. This is what they're saying to we're saying to the Lord. For your sake, Lord, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. I know, despite all these things,
yes.
Overwhelming
yes.
victory
yes.
is ours.
Amen.
Amen. things that really can shake us is death.
Amen.
Death of loved ones.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Sometimes we can feel, well, I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I sense death around me. Not somebody else's death, my death. Anybody?
Amen.
Anybody ever been in some pain or in a situation where you felt like you might be dying?
Yes, Lord.
But God said no. Because see, it is a spirit, and if death is a spirit, and if we're spiritual, then if we can relate to the Spirit of God, we can also relate to the spirit, the other spirits.
Yes.
And I thought about Elder Hashim, and I talked about how sometimes, because he's doing works with a funeral home. And I said to him, I don't know how you do it. I just, because there are days I'm with families who lose loved ones, and I may not have been close to that loved one, I even knew him very well. But I can't help, sometimes I find myself crying because they're weeping.
Amen.
Sister Christian has a dear friend, and within 2 months, is it 2 months, Sister Christian? She lost a sister. Then, how many weeks later? 3 weeks later, her father died. And now,
yesterday,
her mother died. Within 2 months. Now that was her only sister, wasn't it? Her only sister, only dad, only mother. And when Sister Christian talked to her, she said, she asked the Lord, what is going on? How much can I take?
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And then I thought about the fact that, you know what? No matter how bad it gets for you, it's worse for some folks.
Yes,
because I thought about Brother Tyrone. Went down to Houston. Did you tell me there was a family in Houston and several of the family members all died at the same time? Did you say it was the mother, the daddy, and children? Everybody in that little family. Can you imagine having to go to that funeral? It's your brother and he and his wife and all the children. Or if it was your son and his wife and all their children died at the same time. And then I thought about Sister Courtney. Was doing some work for a man. And how many of his loved ones? 10 or 12 in his family all died at the same time. Can you imagine having to look at 10 to 12 caskets of your loved ones at one time? But the scripture says, no, despite all these things,
yes.
Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ, who loved us, and who still loves us. Next verse, and I'm convinced that nothing can ever, that's what I mean. Separate us from God's love. Neither death nor anything in life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Now, God doesn't want you to worry, but do you know he ain't going to leave you? Because you do. Do you know worry is a sin? Because worry is an insult to God. That's like my children. My girls. Can you imagine Kayla or Simone or Cece at the hospital? What's wrong, baby? Oh, my mom, I'm going to eat tomorrow. I don't know where I'm going to stay. Don't know what I'm going to wear. And I'm like, wait a minute, baby girl. What is wrong with you? I'm your daddy. Don't you know the lengths I go to make sure you have everything, even your problem. Go out there and pray and have yourself a good time. You ain't got to worry about that. That's what our father said. He's given us all. God, it says you ain't got a good daddy, or you don't know your daddy. Or you don't know the goodness of your daddy. Or you don't know the power of your daddy. You have missed the point of something. If God is your father and you're worried, but even your worry won't make him leave you. Just like none of your sins will make him leave you because he's already paid for them all. Amen. See, that's why the scripture said early on, it says, who will condemn us? Well, why would anybody want to condemn us? Because even though we are right in the sight of God, we're not perfect in our flesh. Amen. One of the requirements of a Christian, of a pastor, is that he be blameless. But every time I see that, I'm like, I'm like, what does that mean? It means no present scandals. Let me make it plain. It means no present open scandals. No, so meaning the Bible says when you choose a pastor, you have to look at him. To look over him. Paul told Timothy, before you appoint an elder, you got to look over him and make sure that he has no present, open, public scandals. Amen. He was not and cannot talk about he can't have any skeletons. Because I don't care what you say. If God will let us put a magnifying glass on your mind, Officer Pitts, you might be an officer of the law, but you ain't fooling me. Just because, see, I'm an officer of the law too. The law of Christ. But just because I'm an officer, there's another officer back there. Officer Sam, do you ever speak? I'm going to assist you, better policeman. Yes, Lord. See, that's why I said, who would condemn us? Well, why would anybody want to condemn us? Because we got some condemnable ways. Who would accuse us? We have some accusable ways. But he said, none of that can separate us from the love of God. Not even the powers of hell. Which hell are you talking about? Because you know that three definitions for hell. There is Gehenna, there is tolerance, and then there is a Sheol. I don't care which one it is. Not even the powers of the demons of Sheol, tolerance, or Gehenna can separate us from God's love.
Amen.
No power in the sky above.
Yes.
Or in the earth below.
Yes.
Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever. Come on, y'all, read it.
Yes.
Will ever. Let's go back. Just read all. Here we go. No power in the sky above or in the earth
below.
Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are on an all expense paid trip. Everything you do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's turn our eyes towards Jesus.